I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Hariom, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a really interesting show for you this evening. For those people that are really interested in extraterrestrials and all kinds of topics associated with that subject, you should find that there'll be some quite fascinating information offered to you this evening. And before we get into the heart of the matter tonight, I would just like to give my thanks and appreciation for all those listeners that tune in to ET Yoga every Friday evening. And it is true that it's so great to know that there are people out there that can relate to the kind of information that's presented on this show. And I now like to kind of start off with the subject of extraterrestrials with, I guess, a bit of a personal experience. Growing up, I pretty much never really thought about extraterrestrials or craft, or I guess maybe at one point in the late 60s, I sort of had a theory that maybe the Earth and its population was a genetic experiment. But other than that, never really gave it a lot of thought. And somewhere in the late 70s, I had a close encounter with a craft, close enough to throw a baseball and hit it. And after that particular experience, became more interested in the subject of extraterrestrials and craft, etc. And it was about, somewhere around 1987 that I became connected with a book called UFO from the Pleiades. And this was sort of a documentation of the Billy Meyer experience. And I know that, Billy's sort of been discredited by certain factions of on the planet. But, if you really study the material, you'll find it was a legitimate contact. And Bashar also confirms this. Now, with respect to Bashar, for those who are new listeners and are not familiar with Bashar, Bashar presents himself as an Esasani, as an extraterrestrial being coming back from the future and channels through Daryl Anka. And this is a source of information that I think is quite excellent. And Bashar had confirmed the Billy Meyer experience. And this book, UFO from the Pleiades, I'm pretty sure is not in print anymore. And someone once told me that they'd seen them for sale on eBay for like $500. And I'd like to mention from the book, UFO from the Pleiades, that one of the beings that Meyer had been involved with telepathically was identified as Elena. And she explained that she and others like her came from a planet in the star system Vega, which is part of the constellation Lyra, as viewed from here. And the Vegans, as explained to Meyer, are really descended from the early Lyrians, also, as are the Pleiadians and us. And their ancestry is a little older than that of the Pleiadians. Now, I guess, to my way of thinking, the two big factors that are involved with the whole concept of extraterrestrials is it really being on planet Earth, when you become aware that we are being visited by extraterrestrials and that we have an extraterrestrial heritage, that it's kind of like we've been orphaned. I mean, for the most part, the population on the planet's not aware where we came from, what our extraterrestrial heritage is, or why we're here. So where we came from, why we're here. Now, I know many of the people listening to ET Yoga have had what's called sort of a baptismal experience, and according to Baba Ram Dass, the true essence of a baptism is when you realize that there is a higher consciousness and that you have the ability to become one with that consciousness and call the planting of the seed. And I'm sure that most of our listeners to ET Yoga have had the experience of planting of the seed and have been working on their own personal spiritual evolution. And so thus, why they're here sort of is a covered by the people who are already on spiritual path. And then where we came from, you know, I think this information sort of all, it's amazing, amazing history. And some of the sources that I use for that history, and I'll be sharing some of that information tonight, is from Arcturians, as channeled through Sal Rochelle, and a group called the Founders. And the Founders actually have a sort of a 10-part article on the true history of the Earth. And that can be looked on your search engines under, I find it under Healing Timelines. And Sal Rochelle, R-A-C-H-E-L-L-E, is the channeler for that information. And thus, to sort of continue from the UFO from the Pleiades with respect to sort of getting a little clearer as to the brief history and putting it into perspective, according to the explanation offered in the book, the Lyrians were the original, to us at least, ancestors of our branch, of our life stream of evolution. And many thousands of years ago, their civilizations in Lyra reached a high technological level, and they began to travel in space. They were free will creatures and had control of their destiny. At a certain point in time, they fell into disagreement and divided into factions with different ideologies and different goals and objectives. They eventually went to war and destroyed much of their society and ruined their home. Escapists, seeking to avoid the anticipated outcome, fled from their native system and found homes in star systems that we call the Pleiades and the Hades. They also went to nearby Vega. In a few thousands of years, they had raised those societies to high technological levels and once again were able to travel in space. Some of the Pleiadians of Lyrian ancestry on their travels discovered our planet and its nascent life evolving in a very hospitable atmosphere. They stayed and settled briefly in later Lemuria and early Atlantis, some even mixing with Earth creatures and becoming Earthmen. Those who remained apart and did not mix soon produced highly evolved technologies here, and they designed and built many wonderful machines and devices and created comforts and conveniences of all kinds. Again, they came into conflict, and the society became polarized into two camps, each possessing marvelous technologies. Eventually, they went to war, and terrible destruction resulted. Those who could escaped to other regions of space and started all over again. Some of those beings are now also visiting us occasionally. A long time later, a new wave of Pleiadians arrived to check on the descendants of their ancestors who survived the terrible war. They found survivors, and again they mixed with them and assisted Earth humanity in getting control of its assets and producing a new technology. This society became the later Atlanteans, who raised their sciences to levels that produced air and undersea travel before that civilization was also destroyed by surface war on Earth. The modern Pleiadians are descendants of the peaceful faction that settled in the star group which astronomy gives that name. The Vegans visiting us now are descendants of another peaceful group that settled a planet in the Vega system. The descendants of the Lyrians, long evolved beyond the conflict stage, are now interested in our welfare and feel a special responsibility toward us since we reflect the earlier warlike tendencies of themselves. They lost much in their history of conflict and destroyed themselves several times and lost their great technological advances each time. According to the story, they even settled another hospitable planet in our solar system, the fifth one from the sun, which was actually destroyed in a war of nuclear weapons that got out of hand there. This is part of their concern about how we will use our nuclear sciences now. These Lyrians are now being helped and assisted in certain ways by other human cousins in the Pleiades and Vega and others. So we see that although the Lyrians are much older in evolution, they are only a little ahead of the others in some technologies and behind in others, and are being assisted along the way by their cousins. Thus it is that so much human-like extraterrestrials are appearing in the same age and time. Some are actually linked in evolution and do apparently have a common source. Our re-emerging technology attracts their attention now, and they are here to observe and assist according to our will choices. Now, interesting as well is this contact also talked about the dolls as being a precursor to the Lyrians. And from the Daryl Anka's book, and that's Bashar, and it's called Blueprint for Change, A Message from Our Future. One of the parts of this book, Friends and Neighbors, Bashar discusses some of the doll universe. And I quote from Bashar, he says, "Yes, we cannot necessarily go much into other universal realities at this time. However, let us just say that they function as an automatic on and off switch to regulate some of the functions taking place in terms of exchange of energy in your physiological universe. They are like a monitoring energy." And so I think here is another sort of a connection to this idea of the dolls. But clearly, you know, our link to our evolutionary chain is certainly all areas kind of point in that direction. Now, from the Earth History by the Founders, the information there pretty much indicates that the universe we find ourselves in began about 20 billion years ago as a point of light within the mind of God, Prime Creator, whatever label you want to use for that type of consciousness. And this point of light was contained within a greater point of light, which was contained in a greater point, etc. And the first souls, called the founders, these original sparks of consciousness decided to embed a tiny part of themselves into the evolving worlds in order to experience them more directly. And originally, they created a multitude of energy patterns, which were precursors to what we now call a DNA molecule. And at one point in time, the Earth was populated by amazing 12-strand DNA, which was apparently the original tent of our original genetics. However, Orion and Alpha Draconian civilizations interfered with the experiment. And apparently, according to them, today about 80% of our DNA in humans is Orion and Origin, or Orion-Draco hybrid. And also, they indicate that many benevolent ET groups today are closely monitoring the state of affairs on Earth, and in fact would act in an instant to prevent any large-scale nuclear war. And that's my understanding as well, that you know, this the fear of the total nuclear holocaust or whatever is really not a possibility anymore. And certainly, we've been hearing a lot of discussion about another group of ETs that I guess from some people's perspective represent sort of a fear factor, of which are the Greys or the Zeta Reticulans. And according to the Earth History by the founders is channeled through Sal Rochelle, and that's through Arcturian sources, that there is a faction that has had agreements with certain branches of our governments and military. And this, by the way, has also been confirmed by Bashar. and that there are hybrids, and those that have mated with humans and produced offspring. And according to the Arcturians, the Greys also employ electromagnetic systems capable of beaming and transporting individuals from Earth to their spacecraft, and hence the abduction experience. So, I think we're getting sort of, cross-referencing different sources of information that, to my mind, are good sources of information, like the Arcturians and Pleiadians and Esesani and Sirians, and basically all confirming the above information. Now, there's also this connection to the Anunnaki, and that's related to the discoveries of Zechariah Sitchin, and those were related to the uncovering of the Sumerian tablets. And so if you're interested in that story, and I'm not going to go into length into that this evening, we actually did two shows about 6 months ago on ET Yoga about the true Earth history and got into this situation. But I think as a good source of information there, another link I can give you would be Nora, N-O-R-A, Amrani, A-M-R-A-N-I, who I think has quite a nice sort of summary of the Anunnaki and their influence and how they fit into this picture as well. Now, Nora, I guess ironically or coincidentally, was one of the people that worked with me on the Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act. And for those who are interested in the exact wording of that act, I can refer you to www.bashar.org. Now, in about, 2005 or so, Bashar had indicated that one of the things that we could do on this planet to assist in the speeding up of first contact scenarios was to sort of put out a different signal to extraterrestrials than what was currently put out there. In other words, it was an old Extraterrestrial Contact Act, but it was very punitive in nature and was pretty much like a sign on the lawn that says, keep off the grass. So Bashar had indicated that if there were enough individuals who would like to put together a bill or a wording that would welcome contact with peaceful extraterrestrials, that this would go a long way in creating that situation. So a committee was struck, and it was an open one on the on the internet, and you could probably still find archives from that through the Yahoo website. And at that particular time, it took us quite some time actually to come up with a wording for the bill. And at one point, actually, I became the chairperson for that committee. And Daryl Anka also was involved and made quite a lot of contribution to the final wording of the bill. And some of our, I guess, motives there were to ensure that future public contact with extraterrestrials would be made public, that there was a certain protocol with respect to agreements or interactions with those groups. And you can actually still become involved in that because it's now, it hasn't been passed as a law, but the framework for it is set up. And I think maybe even more importantly is creating the thought or the intent of wanting to have extraterrestrial contact with peaceful extraterrestrial groups. And through actually Nora Amrani's involvement in that group, I became aware that she was connected with some of this through her own psychic abilities with the information around the Anunnaki. And also from her site, she has a quote from a Bashar with respect to some of our Earth history. And it goes like this. Approximately 4.6 billion years ago in our solar system, there existed Mercury, Venus, Mars with no moons, a fourth planet, Jupiter, Saturn with no rings, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, which was a satellite of Saturn. And then about 4 billion years ago, another planet came into our still forming solar system. And this planet had its own moons. It arrived at approximately the same orbit as the fourth planet called Maldek. And I guess the gist of that would be that that planet actually had a collision with the fourth planet and shattered it so that that really was the formation of the asteroid belt. And a remnant of the impact as it collided into, or as it kind of moved into a tighter orbit around the sun, became the Earth and brought with it the large planet that was the moon of the fourth planet. And that is our moon. And this other planet that was responsible for the shattering of the moons gravitationally that caused Saturn's rings and the turning of Uranus on its side so that it has a highly inclined axis. And this also caused Pluto to release from Saturn and come into its own orbit. And this other planet, of course, that caused all the havoc was Nibiru. And it is our 10th planet. And apparently, according to Nora, in the late 80s, it was halfway back. Now, I guess the question would be, what's the term of its orbit? And according to the Zechariah Sitchin material and a lot of other sources, it's about a 3,600-year cycle that this planet comes back into our solar system. And I don't recall where I saw this, but I remember seeing some sort of a map that indicated about, you know, the rotation of all the planets in our solar system all rotating the sun in the same direction, but that this planet sort of crosses perpendicularly our solar system when it does make its returns. And I guess with respect to our own history, the claim is that our DNA has been manipulated by the Anunnaki that reside on this planet. And to me, you know, this is, you know, part and parcel of making sense of a lot of the reason why we seem to only function with a certain portion of our brain. And it makes sense to me that the way I've been had it explained was that we typically function with two strands of DNA now, when in point of fact, we were designed to have 12-stranded DNA. This also connects to some of the information from the Barbara Marciniak material, Bringers of the Dawn, which I always tell people is sort of the classic text in this field, because I kind of equate it to autobiography of a yogi in the yogic realms as the classic yogic text. And in this Bringers of the Dawn, Pleiadian information there does teach the Pleiadian spinning techniques, which help to activate and rebundle latent DNA, as well as their pillar of light meditation, which enables people to access more data. And if you're interested in those techniques, you can go to the maxwellgreensite.com. And the name of the site is called Healing the Known and the Unknown. And under one of the ET Yoga Archive shows that are available there is one that's called the XYZ Extraterrestrial Meditation. And on that particular tape, and it's 1995, the technique of the Pleiadian spinning, as well as the pillar of light, as well as some Merkaba techniques, as well as the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation are available there. For those who are interested in that, that's at the maxwellgreensite.com. And to me, this is just one of the many very positive influences that certain ET groups, you know, are having in our world today. And to my way of thinking, the groups that I've been most closely connected in, with respect to their channeled information, are the Pleiadian, Sirian, Arcturian, and Esasani. And this, to me, this is the most important point at this time in our evolution. I mean, you can argue the pros and cons of do extraterrestrials exist and all that kind of thing until you're blue in the face and it never resolves anything. In fact, it was one of the big problems that really we had in wording the Open Contact Act because, in point of fact, there's no actual public proof or acceptance that extraterrestrials exist, and yet you're trying to word a law or a bill dealing with this situation. And some of the ways that we were able to even get such a thing, you know, by the legal terminology is that there was a previous extraterrestrial act, as well as new committees that have been formed at the United Nations with respect to extraterrestrials in space that most people aren't aware exist. And so dealing with the subject of, you know, and I know many people, including myself, have a side bet with a friend that, you know, yes, the extraterrestrials are here. But the point is not so much to try and prove that they do exist. What about the information that does exist? And this is what I love so much about the Bashar information that comes to Daryl Anka. That even though Bashar presents himself as an extraterrestrial, he doesn't spend any time during his channelings trying to convince people of that. Nor does Daryl, because it's really not the most important issue. The most important issue is the information that's coming through. It's very self-empowering information. And I know one of the topics that sort of comes up from time to time is that, you know, why don't they just land and get it over with, you know, type of thing. Well, I guess, you know, depending on, you know, what you want to believe, you know, maybe they have, and you just don't know about it. But in terms of clearly an open first contact scenario that hasn't happened yet, one of the reasons, frankly, is that the energy from extraterrestrials is a higher frequency. And unless people are ready to sort of make an attempt to meet extraterrestrials, you know, about halfway or to try to approximate halfway, this energy can bring up issues that we're not ready for and can cause fear and shock. So, you know, information that's coming through, like through Bashar and through channeled information, these are the first attempts to sort of bridge the gap. And it's pretty clear in my mind that first contact is imminent, and we're going to be talking about some specific time frames in a while. But again, the most important thing here is the information that's coming through. Is the information true and valid? Does it work for you or not? And this is one of the reasons that ET Yoga came about. It came about because of a perceived need in the population for information in the area of self-empowerment and in the area of maximizing the immune system. And we don't spend a lot of time on ET Yoga. This is one show I wanted to devote to sort of extraterrestrials and kind of you can get, you know, my opinion about, you know, what I perceive as happening. But for the most part, we deal with information that's self-empowering. And clearly, one of the things that is very important in this whole process is realizing that we create our outer experience. And when we're in a state of victim consciousness, what comes up are these constant references to blaming and complaining and justifying our circumstance. And as long as we're going to be focused on a victimhood state, it pushes, I think, away the likelihood for sooner open contact. And the more people that start to take responsibility for creating their outer experience, this is, you know, to me, the first step in fourth dimensional awareness. And not only that, but some of the, specifically the Bashar information, which talks about that one of our primary responsibilities as humans is, and the rational mind, is to put a positive spin on outer circumstances. And this whole concept is just huge when you start to connect this with information, say, for example, David Wilcock at Defined Cosmos. And if you go on his website, there's about a 1 hour video that's available there at the site, which talks about his explanation of the pineal gland and how it works and how he believes that there is and has been engineered technologies that reflect the same abilities as a pineal gland. In other words, that can do time travel, and that they are able through, in his opinion, and also according to Dan Birch on the Project Camelot site, that there has been use of alien technologies that have been discovered from crashed craft, and specifically one called the Cube and Looking Glass, which apparently were technologies that were able to look at probable future realities. And one of the things that sort of has come as a conclusion of dealing with some of these is that expectation connects people with different timelines and different experiences. In fact, I think that it's clear that there are some overlapping timelines occurring at the moment, and it's sort of like a strobe light that flashes on and off, that these different timelines are flashing from their own perspective on the current, I guess, what do you want to call it, head of matters that's coming up around the 2012 time. And I really, one of the questions that was asked to Bashar was, is it appears that there's this race against time, whether this critical mass of positive energy will overcome the manifestation of our own Armageddon. Well, Bashar said, I'll put it to you this way. There are an infinite number of probable Earths, and every single possible scenario will play out, and more precisely, is playing out now, since all time is actually simultaneous. However, whatever each individual's vibratory frequency is, that is the determining factor for what probable future reality Earth they will experience. And I think this is a new concept for, you know, much of us, and that is that different people can be, will be experiencing different timelines and different future Earths. And clearly the keys to experiencing the more positive ones are not to be in states of fear, but to be in states of unconditional love and gratitude and appreciation and compassion, excitement, and joy. And it's also been shown that these self-empowering states of emotion are also highly, highly important in the area of the immune system and in maximizing the strength of the immune system and eventually leading to a total immunity from all disease. So, you know, all this information to me, you know, at this point, it's more about the information than proving, you know, extraterrestrials exist or not. And I'm sure that we have listeners to ET Yoga that, you know, might be on the fence, and it really doesn't matter. The whole idea is to take in the information and see if it makes sense and it works for you. And I think this whole idea about these different Earth scenarios, that in effect, yeah, you can be your own Stargate captain, because by having throwing a positive spin on and having positive expectation, especially around events like 2012, or especially around events like economic collapse, or whatever outer circumstances there are. And the key information from Bashar is that outer circumstances don't matter. What matters is your state of being. And if you prefer joy, then see in your mind how you would act in any given situation from the perspective of joy, and the way you see it in your mind, act that way in the outer world. And although that may be tough at times to do, I think especially when you're in times when times are good, or, you know, pretty good, that you practice those techniques, and when times are not so good from your perspective, throw a positive spin on them. And we're going to be doing, actually next week, we're going to be doing a show called Wizardry 101. And it's going to be centered around magic. And it one of the certainly the techniques that Bashar talks about is that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meaning. Like, no matter what the outer circumstance, it doesn't come with a built-in meaning. And it's just that we put emotional judgment on the external circumstance, and then we have an experience from that. And the fact is that the formula, and it works, is positive spin in, positive experience out. Negative emotional spin in, negative experience out. And if you start working with that concept and start working with that technique, it's going to stun you when you find out that it works. It's going to be stunning. And the more you work with it, the more you understand that these are some of the laws of 3D reality. And I always try to refer our listeners to the College of Christ Consciousness, and that's information channeled through Mother Mary by Jean Hatch. And some of the ultimate laws and rules of creation. And it ties in perfectly with the Bashar material. So in that light, again, the information is what's really, really important. And I'd also like to mention a few other things from the Bashar material. And that is that Earth apparently is in quarantine until 2012. And that means that there will not be any open public contact before that time. In fact, in a private conversation with Daryl Anka, we sort of discussed, like, when is this Open Contact Act likely to be passed? And the answer was sort of that it's probably on the New Earth, and New Earth meaning our fourth dimensional Earth, which would happen after 2012. And I know that it's interesting for years and years talking about first contact scenarios that people can always wonder, well, when is that going to happen? Well, according to Bashar, the phenomenon known as the Phoenix Lights, that is from a group of beings that will be part of the civilization that Earth will have first contact with. And because of their, I guess, some similarity in physical appearance to us, certainly our first contacts of open public contact will be with a society that is a little closer to us in evolution. And I think that certainly this particular phenomenon, Bashar says, that's taken place in Phoenix. Apparently, there was craft that's about a mile in length that was wedge-shaped that hovered over the city of Phoenix for a few hours. You can go on YouTube, actually, and see. It's hard to totally make out the outline of the craft. That could be because it's at night, but certainly, you know, very close, pretty close pictures of the lighting. Bashar says that that particular civilization will again be visiting the Arizona area in the year 2010. And Bashar also indicates that in 2012 that that particular group will be having sightings at various sacred sites around the planet. And I haven't seen this on any other website, but Bashar also gives the name of the civilization, and it is the Shalanaya. Now, interesting to note, of a connection here with the Shalanaya and actually the Greys and the abduction scenarios, etc., that apparently, yes, there have been several hybrid species created. One of those, according to Bashar, eventually ends up in Isisani. And that the Shalanaya are sort of an intermediary hybrid race as well. So this kind of you know, ties together in the Bashar information. So, and it's actually from what I sort of, and I don't know this as a fact, but have been indicated that apparently the Greys are not necessarily extraterrestrial in nature. They're more like interdimensional, almost like a future self of Earth, with what Earth humans evolved into. And I guess some of the disturbing signs that we do see is that, from what I understand, we probably would have had an Armageddon and blown ourselves up if it hadn't been for the intervention of benevolent ET sources. The fact that there seems to be this, high technology that's racing years and years ahead of the heart. And, clearly our key and our distinctiveness as far as our DNA and into, having an impact on creating our outer circumstances all is in the emotional areas. And as we've put it out on ET Yoga, that all disease comes from dysfunctional emotions, that the ultimate cures for disease are in the positive emotions. And even this has been scientifically backed up with experiments with HIV patients who, when they've been trained to emit love and gratitude and appreciation, develop like 300,000 times the strength in their immune processes. And it's also been proven that the brain and the heart, which puts out energy that can be measurable about 10 feet from the human body and is also about 5,000 times stronger than the brain and the head. So, you know, a lot of this information that's coming out today has certainly been proven scientifically, although I've also heard that about 95% of the known information on any given subject isn't available to the public. But what we have become aware of, some of it's quite fascinating. And as far as, there's also a link to a guy named Valery Yuvarov, who's part of the National Security Academy of Russia, actually. He has there's a link of an interview with him on Project Camelot. And he actually has indicated that there has been discovered on the planet and in Russia, actually, some extraterrestrial technology that helps to eliminate meteors from hitting the Earth. And he even goes so far as to say that there's now been another, that they apparently have not back-engineered anything in Russia, but that there's also part of this technology that's recently been discovered in China. And this guy's part of the government in Russia. So, you know, I guess varying places, there's different information sort of. They seem to be more open about sharing some of their discoveries than, let's say, in the West. However, that may be. The whole idea of extraterrestrials and proving them certainly will come about. Now, in the, again, the Bashar book, Blueprint for Change, he talks about harmonic A equals the harmonic initiation. And he said that beginning in 1947 and marking the recovery of a crashed alien saucer in New Mexico, proving the existence of aliens, that this was in equation A. In B equals the harmonic convergence, and that's a conjunction of energy in 1987 representing greater global awareness of Earth's relation to other worlds. And then C, which equals harmonic identification, will occur around the year 2027. And this conjunction should represent a unified Earth, balanced ecological management, and open interaction with and participation in the association of worlds. Now, from Bashar's perspective, Earth is sort of on a, you know, trial basis as a member of the Association of Worlds. We're clearly, you know, entering a period that I sort of equate to the time of Columbus discovering the New World. You know, we're probably within a decade of it being a known fact that we're being visited by extraterrestrials. And according to Bashar, I think he says around the time period 215 to 217, it will become a fact on this planet. There won't be any question about it. So this kind of debate that's going on, are there UFOs or not, that'll be solved. And further to that, you know, at what point in time will there be the first open contact? Probably somewhere around that time as well. And certainly, as indicated by 2020's total, you know, membership in the association, and this is what, you know, the timetable is. So it's a, you know, very, very, very exciting time in Earth history. And I guess if you look for other connections, I know that in David Wilcock and Dan Burrish's interviews on Project Camelot, they actually talk about a Tau 9 treaty that's recently been signed. Now, I haven't heard Bashar confirm this, but he's saying that some of this technology that we've had, like Looking Glass, has been, some of it's been abused, and that there's sort of been a lid put on that type of abuse. And another one of the, I guess, you know, to me, really positive indicators of extraterrestrial life are the crop circles. And I like to refer our listeners to the sacred geometry of Janosch, that's J-A-N-O-S-H, and his connections with the Arcturians. And certainly the crop circles that are represented by his website do have latent DNA codes, and it's a fascinating subject. Crop circles, I think, can also be used around sources of water, because it's been proven by Masaru Emoto and the power of water that water is a perfect reflector of consciousness, and the molecular structure of water changes depending on the good or negative or positive vibrations that they are associated with it. And I know we've talked about this many times, that yogic yantras as well as crop circles can be used to affect the water that you drink. And certainly the crop circles themselves, some of the psychic children have discussed codes that are in the crop circles. One in particular, the dolphin crop circle, the one at Alton Barnes in Wiltshire, August 14th of 2002. And according to one of the psychic kids, there's a code in this crop circle that only your superconscious mind will comprehend, and it may reveal your role, how you can contribute to the world of peace and compassion. And they say that it's so important that people all over the world see this crop circle, for it will activate you in ways your mind cannot understand. And certainly that's not the only crop circle that can have, you know, very positive effect on activating latent DNA. And you know, some of the amazing kids that are being born today. And we did a show actually on indigos and violets and crystals, and as indicated from some of the messages from the Syrians, that there actually were some kids born in the year 2000 that actually had 9 strands of DNA activated. So, you know, what we're finding is some amazing, amazing kids that are coming into the world today, not to mention the some of the children of AIDS who had been found to be totally immune from disease. And I'd like to also share with you a quote from one of the psychic children, and which says that, how will we know which path humanity has chosen if the whales and the dolphins begin interacting with humans in closer ways? Then you'll know that you have chosen well. But if they retreat and die, the road ahead will be very difficult. We only ask that you choose well for today's children and tomorrow's. If you choose peace now and allow your minds to flow to that reality, then the political systems will adjust on their own, and you will see results of that in your world. Your emotions are the key. It is the tool you will use to draw the chosen world into your conscious experience. Your collective emotions have the ability to influence weather patterns and even end wars. You've done this many times without realizing it. If you continue claiming the world you want by feeling that world in your emotions, then it will be so. But if you continue to be influenced by the fear that is so present today, then the world will reflect that as well. We, your children, are asking you to choose love over fear. Then the whales and the dolphins will fulfill their role and give us back the information they store within each cell. It is so important that this happen. The circle of life cannot be broken now. Use your feelings of love to draw the reality you really want. And I think that's really key, that certainly following the flow of emotions creates that outer reflection that we prefer. And the information, I think, from Bashar is that he claims that his civilization is an exact cross between the idea of your human form and that of the Zeta Reticuli. That we are the children of the blending. We are the hybrids that you are creating. We are your future selves, and have come back to remind you that there is a marriage going on that gives us reality that supports us. You are in many ways our fathers and our mothers, and we are your children. So, you know, I think there's some amazing, amazing events that are unfolding. Certainly the most exciting time to be living on the planet, and to focus on the positives, and to throw a spin on anything perceived to be negative, and thus reap the positive experience. And again, for those who are looking for specific techniques, the MaxwellGreenSight.com, there is some free information there as well concerning self-empowerment, as well as for those who are in abusive relationships. There are free downloads there at that site. And as well, as I said, one of the more powerful techniques, meditations, is the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. Do it, see what you think of it. We've done it a couple of times, actually live on air on ET Yoga, and I've had really positive response from listeners. And it's about expanding consciousness. And another one of the highly, highly powerful techniques that Bashar offers is transforming core beliefs. And you can go to www.bashar.org, and you can order the workshop on transforming core beliefs. There is a technique there that Bashar said he needed special permission to make available to humanity at this time. And it deals with really totally opening up your core. And it's actually a 90-day program. It only takes about 15 minutes a day to do. but highly, highly powerful. Connects you with your dreams as well as a meditation extraterrestrial called the Jagged Spiral. So I would highly recommend those. We continue to recommend products such as the Egyptian healing rods or wands of Horus to maximize your immune system, balance your internal clocks. And at this point in time, I would just like to say to everyone that's a fan and a listener of ET Yoga, you can always email me with your questions or topics you'd like to hear discussed at paperfungo, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. And I'd like to wish everyone my sincerest best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health and abundance, and hope you tune in again next week for Wizard 101. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.